southern Indiana, up in Kentucky, certainly right here in Tennessee, and down in northern Alabama. Well, it is, I think, going to be a good weekend. We're going to see, again, a lot of good conference games. The as you look into some of the things that we'll be talking about today with Tony Barnhart and Charles Davis, we'll be discussing some of the fireworks that happened last weekend, led by South Carolina's win in Athens, 20-17 in overtime. A huge upset any way you look at it. You can explain things a lot of different ways, but for South Carolina, Will Muschamp's team to go into Athens, Georgia, with Athens, with Georgia playing the way that they're playing, it was an impressive victory, and it was not a fluke. We'll be talking with that as we go about that as we go through the show. LSU with a 21-point second half gets a big win at home over previously undefeated Florida, 42-28. Alabama, big in College Station, 47-28. And Tennessee at home, they won their first conference game 20-10 against Mississippi State. Big win for Tennessee in many, many areas, and State, a big loss. Again, we'll be discussing that with Tony Barnhart in the next segment. More on last week's SEC games and a look at today's seven conference matchups, again with Tony as he is on with us a whole hour today. Nationally, number 6 Oklahoma, 34-27 over number 11 Texas in the Red River Shootout. Number 10 Penn State, 17-12 over number 17 Iowa. And look who's atop the Big 12 right now. How many of you had Baylor, the Baylor Bears? 3-0 in the conference, 6-0 overall. Pretty darn impressive from a program that, well, was pretty much had one leg in the grave, maybe one and a half legs in the grave just a couple of years ago. Elsewhere, Minnesota's a quiet 6-0, not talking much about them, mainly because of the schedule so far. But Minnesota, 6-0. Appy State moves into the top 12. Let me re-say that. App State or Appalachian State. They don't like to be called Appy State, and in reverence to some folks over there that I'm pretty fond of, we'll be calling them App State from now. They move into the top 25. They're undefeated, 5-0. Texas A&M drops out of the top 25, but Missouri moves in number 22. All these things we'll be discussing today on the show. So, what happened to Georgia? South Carolina goes into Athens with a backup quarterback and a 1-2 record in conference. They were waylaid, and I mean waylaid, by an overwhelmingly favored Georgia team. We'll ask Tony Barnhart about that in the next segment. Right now, 50% or half the way through the 2019 season. Who's playing for what? You know, there's only six teams that really have one or, well, that have one or few conference losses right now, and I think legitimately have a shot at the SEC championship. A couple still there that could, but you look at who they are and who they're playing, probably not. Eight teams have two or more losses, and most of them have five remaining SEC games. Alabama, LSU, Auburn in the West, Georgia, Florida, Missouri in the East. They are all still playing for a division championship, and of course, it's impossible to win an SEC championship without first winning a division championship. The other nine, well, I'm going to take a look at those individually in the last segment, two segments of the show. Later in the show, I'll look at the Alabama-Tennessee game. All this will be in the last two segments, 10:30 and after Charles's segment. I'll give you the game thoughts on that, particularly from the Tennessee perspective. Midseason breakdown of the SEC programs right now. Where is each individual program right now in the Southeastern Conference? We'll take a look at that again the last half hour of the show. And a topic I think I hope you'll enjoy. I've been working pretty hard on this part of it. What ADs should be evaluating when contemplating a head coaching change? Now's the time of year that we on radio, I try not to do it, probably do too much of it, but try not to do any of it. You know, this time of year, halfway through, we got guys who are on the hot seat, according to us. We got guys who are probably going to be fired, according to us. We got guys that aren't getting along with their teams, having dissension with their teams and their players and their athletic director and their president or their chancellor, according to us. Well, how much does that really plays into this? So I'll take a real good look at the end of the show about what ADs should be evaluating. You know what's pretty simple? There's not a whole lot involved in the evaluation and making an evaluation about whether you make a change or not. Just a couple of things to kind of chew on right now, and then we'll get into some specifics later. How long has the coach been there, number one? And number two, what are the two key things that go into evaluating the job that a head coach is doing? Forget about wins and losses, certainly early in a head coach's tenure. There are a couple of really key things that ADs zero in on, the good ADs zero in on when deciding, hey, is this our man or not? All that in the last half of the show. Tony Barnhart up next. Charles Davis will be with us at 10:15. And Charles, today I'm going to take a look with him at five national championship programs, five of them, that are rebuilding right now, that have gone way far away from anything looking and resembling a run at a national championship. There's five of them. There's more out there. We're going to talk about five of them today, 10:15 with Charles Davis. As we go to break, I'll talk with you about Farm Bureau Health. You know, if you're looking, if you're turning 65, or if you just are already there, just want to look and see if you can reduce your monthly premiums and the service that you're going to get. And by the way, that's the only difference in any Medicare supplement plan. Indeed, all F plans, all of them, all the Medicare supplement plans, they're all the same except for two key differences. Number one, how much you're going to pay. That goes by the individual carrier. And number two, the service that you're going to receive. Everything else is set by the federal government. No difference in any of those. Well, let's take a look at with Farm Bureau Health. If you're right here in Middle Tennessee or anywhere in Tennessee, but of course here in Middle Tennessee where we're listening, all the claims are processed right down in Columbia. Going to be processed quick, easy to get in touch with. And the other part of it is they are in every single county in the state of Tennessee. Over 180 offices in Tennessee. This is Farm Bureau Health, so that means they're very close to you. There's one about a mile and a half from where I live. So, again, if you're looking to reduce, if you're just looking to see if there are better options for you, now's the time to do it, and you can do it at fbhealthplans.com.
Stover's Liquidated
Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced, each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Global Motorsports Inc. has consolidated their three locations into one for the convenience of their loyal customers. More choices at one location, just off the I-65 Moores Lane exit. You still get that small boutique environment with a staff well-versed in the multiples of late model luxury import automobiles. Test drive 1, 10, or every car on the lot, make your decision, and 20 minutes later, you'll be walking out with the keys to your luxury vehicle. Now one convenient location in Cool Springs off Moores Lane and I-65.
Plumbing trouble? Has your HVAC stopped working? Let the expert team at Jewel Mechanical take a look at your heat, air, or plumbing. Trust us to do the work right the first time and to only sell you what you need. Let us help you make your home and family comfortable year-round. Ask about our money-saving HVAC and plumbing maintenance agreements. As always, free estimates with second opinion and financing available. Jewel Mechanical, 615-469-5965 or jewelmechanical.com.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at clintnewmandds.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Georgia, Athens, Georgia, last weekend.
Well, I was in Athens on Monday, and a lot of people were asking that question. And Doug, when you really break it down as an old coach, you'll understand this. First thing they did was South Carolina for the first time has some very strong people up front defensively. So their goal going in was to cut down on the amount of explosive plays that Georgia got out of its running game. All right, that was number one. Number two, Georgia's got these young receivers. They play press coverage, and those young receivers could not get any kind of separation. So now all of a sudden you got your quarterback, Jake Fromm, throwing it into areas where the guys have not really gotten open. That and those two things and four turnovers allowed South Carolina to hang around and win the game. And quite honestly, South Carolina outplayed them and they outcoached them. They deserved to win the game.
You know, you're right. I am an old coach. I've been around a long time, and I've seen this happen so many times. And you know what seems to be happening more this time? You know, we talk so much about how important the quarterback position is in college football. I think you can make a strong argument that these last 4 or 5, maybe 6 years, or maybe even a little bit longer than that, the quarterback play has been even more important than it normally has. Quarterback's always been an important key, but now, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much of a chance to really compete in the big ball games. Tony, that's kind of being put on us here now. There's a lot of backup quarterbacks, and in some instances, third-team quarterbacks who are winning out there now. And it's a little bit hard to figure, or at least for me to figure out why.
Well, I'll tell you what, South Carolina held the fort with the guy who was their number three quarterback when the season started. Remember, they lost Jake Bentley early on. Then they bring in the Helinski kid. He gets dinged up early. DeCarrion Joyner comes up, and he comes and he runs the offense, and he doesn't have a turnover. And didn't do anything spectacular, but you hold the boat. Kentucky's playing with a wide receiver, Lynn Bowden, at quarterback, because they lost their starting quarterback, and then the backup got beat up, the transfer kid. And so they had to cobble together an offense for Lynn Bowden. And that was good enough to beat Arkansas, but I'm not sure it's going to be good enough to beat Georgia today. So, yeah, there's a lot of backup quarterbacks playing in this league.
Tennessee's
right
got one playing. And Mississippi State, I don't know if it's their backup or their first team, but they're kind of back and forth. Kind of interesting. One other thing, too. I mentioned this last week, but I think the Georgia game last week is a good example of this. This time of year, when you're in conference play, especially programs and coaches, head coaches especially, who have been at a program like Will Muschamp has for several years now, you know your opponent. You know what your opponent in conference play cannot do, certainly a division opponent. You know what they like to do, what they don't like to do. And if you get favorable field position, which South Carolina had, if you get maybe a little erratic play from the offense of your opponent, which Georgia had, had to be Jake Fromm's worst game.
No doubt.
I don't remember his first game he played, but he didn't play very well. He did not look like a young man who has started, 30-plus games. But anyway, that's how you pull an upset. You get it into the fourth quarter, and then anything can happen. And that's the key. If there's one key other than just play on the field for conference teams now, regardless of how good they are, where they're ranked, what their record is, if you can get a game into the fourth quarter, then you got a chance for a big play on a block punt or a tip pass or a fumble or an interception, things like that. You try to get it into that fourth quarter, and that's what every underdog in this league is trying to do right now, get it into the fourth quarter. Rarely is an underdog going to run away with a game. Right. But if you get it into that fourth quarter and get it down to one or last two drives, you know, then you got a chance. Go ahead.
Well, Doug, you will appreciate this. Georgia's in that game. You know, obviously their plan is to do exactly what you said, to keep it close and try to make something happen in the fourth quarter. Georgia's average starting field position for that entire game was its own 19-yard line. That's old-fashioned football right there.
Well, that's how you win. Tennessee's win against Mississippi State. Mississippi State's closest they started in 10 drives, or only 10 drives, by the way. couple of key things in that game kind of interesting to me. Both teams had 58 plays. That is a low number for one team, but much less when both of them had 58 plays. But Mississippi State's starting field position, the closest they got to Tennessee's goal line was 72 yards away, the 28-yard line. That's how you win games. All right, let's hit a couple of things here. I wanted to let's start with kind of two off-the-field topics before we get into a little bit of last week, but more importantly this week. We're also going to talk about who's still in it from a conference perspective. Remember, folks, everybody knows this, but I'll just remind you, you can't win the conference championship if you don't get to Atlanta. And you can only get to Atlanta if you won your division. So everything else, yes, you want to win games, but everything else is really in the back seat right now. Getting to Atlanta is the key. Yes, there are teams that have several teams that maybe have national championship hopes, but that's for a later day. You got to win that division first. And if you don't win that division, you're not going to get to Atlanta. If you don't get to Atlanta, you're not going to be playing. You're not going to be playing for all the marbles anywhere. But I want to hit two off the field things. I want to start with just some reports that kind of interesting to me about Joe Moorhead. Second year at State, replaced a guy that's really good. Dan Mullen's going to make it tough for all the next few head coaches at Mississippi State. Believe me.
Yep.
Dan Mullen did a job. He did a tremendous job down there. But I didn't put much stock into this. I don't know how much you can talk about it, but boy, a lot of people in this league think Joe Moorhead's going to Rutgers.
And there was a report out of the New Jersey area that he was their number one candidate because of his background at Fordham, what he has done, and Doug, to be perfectly candid, you just read the guy's body language and you listen to him. I was in the car. I heard him do an interview with Paul Feinbaum yesterday. Paul pressed him on the issue, and he sounds like a guy who says, you know, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. And I just get the sense. Let's put it this way. I believe that if the job is offered to him, he will take it. This is just a hard job in playing in this league.
I watched that same interview, and boy, you hit it. And listen, this isn't a negative look at either Mississippi State or Joe Moorhead, either one. But the fact of the matter is, Tony, is exactly what you said. New coaches into this league. I've watched them. I've watched several of them up in Knoxville. When you come into this league and you've had no background in it all, in other words, you haven't coached in it at an assistant level or played in it, and even no matter where you came from, and Moorhead came from an outstanding program at Penn State, it is it's just difficult to explain what happened. I saw it with Butch Jones. I saw it with Derek Dooley. Derek knew a little bit about it, but he really didn't know about it till he got in the middle of it. It's tough to do. So, you know, Moorhead took over a program that lost, had an outstanding senior class, lost what, three starters on defense in the first round of the NFL draft.
Right.
Anyway, but I we'll see. But I think you're making a very good point on that. He's from up there. We'll see. And again, he has not said that, but he hadn't really come out and ringingly endorsed not leaving either. So now the other issue is this. Always interests me, as many people who know me pretty well, there's two things that I try to really follow. I spend a lot of time looking at football, college football, number one, primarily strictly college, not a big pro guy. Like go to high school games because I have a grandson, I'll have another one's playing, but college football. The other thing is I like to really look at the political part of that also. Mitt Romney came out and basically said, he didn't basically say, he said to the NCAA, we're coming for you. Pretty big words, and, you know, okay.
Yeah.
But bottom line is this name, image, and likeness issue that they got passed out in California. Again, that's just one state, doesn't take effect for 4 years, if at all. But this has really got a full head of steam coming right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And as you and I discussed before, once a state does it, and there's a bunch of other states who want to do it, you knew the feds were going to get involved at some point, and they're going to get involved now. Doug, this is going to happen, all right? And the NCAA is going to do what it always does. It delays, delays, delays until it has to act, and then it will act. It will come up with their own plan, which will give these guys the opportunities to go into the free market. And everybody can complain about, well, how do you manage it and how do you know? You better come up with something, okay? The feds don't care what the problems of winning and losing football games are. They've got a hot button issue that they know they can exploit. As I told somebody the other day, I said, the politicians know, my constituency may not read the farm bill, but they will buy George Reed this. And so it's going to happen. It's going to take a few years, but it's going to happen.
All right, let's talk about some things just real quickly on this, though. Here's what I see and I think will happen. I mentioned this a few shows ago. Todd Berry, who is from where I grew up, his father and I were very close. His father used to be the head coach before he passed away at Northeastern Oklahoma Junior College that I went to. Todd was a coach for many years, was a grad assistant at Tennessee. For me, when I coached up there, he is now the head of the College Football Coaches Association. He mentioned to me a year ago, just off the air, when I had him on the air a couple of times, and I have him on again, but just talking about this situation. And he said, Doug, part of the problem is this, is that these schools, I'm driving down the road here in Texas, and I look up and I see the starting quarterback for one of the state universities hawking tickets. He said, that's part of the problem. Here's what I don't think you're going to see. I know you're going to see. What's going to happen is that these schools will, number one, they'll quit using a player's name. They'll quit using his image, and they'll quit using his likeness. And I'll even go further than that. I think there will be a push on this to take the names off the back of the jerseys eventually. In other words, say as colleges, listen, if you want to pass some rules about what businesses can do and players can do with business, fine. But from a athletic department perspective, we're not using their name, we're not using their image, and we're not using their likeness. Because quite honestly, at most of the Power Five schools now, which is what this is aimed at, not many schools sell tickets because of players anymore. You either have your baked in people that are going to buy season tickets or not. Now the type of wins and losses and competitiveness plays a part of that. So that's what I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see athletic department say, okay, we're not going to use their name. We're not going to put their picture up on a billboard. We're not going to send it out on a press guide. We're not going to put it on tickets. We're just going to act like they're not there. And I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, but I don't see any other way around it. Because if you're going to use their name, image, or likeness, you're going to have to pay them.
Right. No, that's right. And think about this. What about the apparel manufacturer? Do you put their logo on the jersey and serve them so they're a billboard for Nike or Adidas? Do you still keep that on the jersey?
Well, I'd like to see that go away anyway, but it's not going to because of the millions of dollars that we saw the part of the effects of what Nike. Listen, it's Nike's the huge, huge dog here. Yes, Adidas is in there, a strong number two. A number two. Nobody's strong other than Nike in that. And I'm talking about basketball and football now. And then Under Armour a little bit, but it's the Nike's world out there right now. And listen, they make it attractive for schools and programs to utilize them in a lot of different ways. So anyway, we'll try to keep you up on that. You got one final thought on that before we move on?
No, but I did want to share one thing with you because I've gotten a bunch of tweets this morning wanting to understand this issue, and it's this. Somebody's asking me, what if, Missouri is appealing its current postseason bowl ban?
Yep.
They hope to hear about it soon.
Bring everybody up to date on exactly why they're banned from a bowl, Tony.
It was a combination of academic stuff and other team violations that impacted not only the football team but some of the non-revenue sports. So Missouri football got a bowl ban. The Missouri strongly appealed, saying this is that the NCAA out stripped its discretion, and they are waiting to hear, frankly, any day now. They're past the deadline when they are in the appeal stage, okay? They're appealing the ruling. They hope to hear soon. So because they're leading the SEC East right now, and if they may get a ruling any day now that once and for all says they can't go to a game. But this is the part I wanted to clear up for people who didn't understand it. I just checked with the SEC office. As long as the appeal is outstanding, Missouri is eligible to do anything. So in other words, if they were to win the SEC East and we get to December 7th and they haven't heard from their appeal, they're eligible to play in the SEC championship game, which is why some of their non-revenue sports were able to compete. So that's, I think, obviously, they're going to get a ruling on this thing before December. I think they'll get it in November. But I wanted to make that clear that if they don't hear anything on their appeal until their appeal is final, one way or another, they're still eligible for it to play everything.
Well, that's a great point. And you can either go back, forget about being December 7th. It'll go back. That's the SEC championship game is the 7th, correct?
Correct.
It'll even go back the week before that because, obviously, the last game of the season is the week before that. And you got to know who's going to be practicing and who's going to be playing that game. So interesting on that. When we come back, who is still in it? We're going to talk with Tony about that. And who is still in it? We're talking about the SEC. Who's still in the hunt for the SEC championship? We'll talk with Tony about that when we come back. And I'll talk with you about Delta Dental. I can talk with you about it because they are the provider that I use for dental insurance. They're also the one that I'm getting ready to use for Delta Vision. Eye Vision Insurance, EYE Vision Insurance. Delta Dental has been doing dental better for years and years and years, especially Delta Dental of Tennessee. Now they teamed up with VSB to do vision better. If you're looking to combine both, you can now get your vision and your dental insurance in just one contract. Save money, make it easier on yourself. All you got to do is go to coveryourmouth.com, check it out, and see if you might want to, like me, enroll in it. We've all come to know and love Delta Dental. For a few dollars more now, you can get, a partnership with VSP. Here's what I didn't know. I find out lots of things when I talk to the folks that advertise on my shows, and I talk to them often because all of them are local people around here, folks that I know. Parents, did you know that 1 in 5 kids need vision correction? That's 1 in 5, 20% need vision correction. And sometimes we don't know until we go and have a vision test. Why? Because, kids sometimes don't tell us. But that's one of the things we need to look at. Delta Dental of Tennessee, VSB, getting together to do vision better. And you can check all of it out at coveryourmouth.com.
This is Shelby.
You'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the 3 area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey, man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment.
Visit Ream.com to locate a Ream dealer near you.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. M-A-N-D-U-U.com.
This is Mike Keith with a hot tip for football fans. You don't have to miss a second of the action for a meal break. Just call Rafferty's and order one of their delicious party trays to feed the crowd. It's quick and easy. Whether you're at home, partying with friends, even at the office, you can enjoy Rafferty's famous chicken fingers, club sandwiches, ribs, and much, much more. Just call ahead and pick up right in their carryout store. Your party trays will be ready when you get there for the whole crowd. That's Rafferty's, with locations across Tennessee.
You know, if you are an active, this way, seven teams are already out of it. Seven teams are technically in it. You can make an argument as we go through about who's who's in it and who's not. But, Tony, week number eight's here now, let's kind of take a look at it. And we're also going to take a look at not particularly where they've been, but where they're going. Going to go in alphabetical order here, folks, because of this. But since Alabama has got an A in its name, I guess Arkansas and Auburn does too. Let's start with Alabama. They're 3-0. They got five remaining regular season games starting tonight with Tennessee. Give me the skinny on what you're seeing from Alabama that's still in it.
Well, you know, Alabama's offense, everybody I talk to around the league just raves about the slant passing game of Tua Tagovailoa and all those great receivers. And then he said, man, you just can't take it away from them. You know it's coming. You just can't stop it. You sit here and look at the rest of the Alabama schedule, Tennessee tonight, Arkansas at home, LSU at home, at Mississippi State, at Auburn. Obviously, it comes down to the LSU game and the game at Auburn, which I think may be on the road. I think Alabama is sitting in the best position. The fact that they have LSU at home, I think, is huge, and it's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun game.
Let me touch on one thing you just said, because you're so right in the fact that as I watch, it's not only Alabama, but as I watch college football and high school football now. And this comes from an old secondary coach, an old defensive coordinator. I am amazed that defensive coordinators and secondary coaches continue to let teams get inside breaking routes right off the ball. Mm-hmm. And I don't buy for a minute this thing that, well, we can't keep them from doing it. You know what? I could walk on a practice field any day now. I want everybody to understand what I'm saying. I could take away the slant route. Now, I may give up every other route, but I could take away the slant route. You can line them up enough inside and say, you're not coming inside. You know, it's kind of like right. Keeping a guy away from the goal, and you can use your hands to do it. That's the thing in college football that you can't do in the pros. Pro football, you're not supposed to put a hand on them after 5 yards. College football, you can be pushing and shoving as long as you don't grab till that ball's in the air. So I'm really surprised. And especially against Alabama, you watch Alabama play. If you could take away or just limit those slant routes, and the thing about their slant routes are, with those particularly Judy and well, really all of them, Waddle, all of them, they turn a 5-yard slant route into a 60-yard touchdown more than anybody else in this league.
That's exactly right, Doug. And based on what you just said, I would move heaven and earth to at least slow them down and try to take that. And if they beat me over the top, guess what? I'm just going to have to live with that. But Tua is so good at hitting those particularly Judy. I mean, Judy, it seems to always be going up the field and full speed when he catches the ball.
Let me tell you how you try to defend that. It happens in pro ball a lot too, but this is the conventional wisdom. You have cornerbacks out there that when they get inside, they close and break on them. Well, the problem is when you're playing Alabama, nobody's got four of them. And you may, right. Whoever's on duty, if he's your best cornerback, they won't throw it to him. They'll throw it to somebody else on that. But bottom line is they got to figure out a way to do that, because if they don't, they better be able to score a lot of points. That's why, to me, looking at this league right now, and you just mentioned who they're going to be playing, the only team, I think, in the Southeastern Conference that has the firepower offensively to hang with Alabama, I'm just talking about the West right now, is LSU. If you look at this schedule, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi State, they can't, in my opinion, if Alabama is playing decent, they can't come close to beating Alabama. Auburn certainly can, but it's going to be difficult, even their defense. LSU's the one that has the opportunity to outscore them on that. But anyway, just, you know, take away the cotton pick and slant route. The conventional wisdom for going back to when they started throwing the football, when John Heisman started throwing the ball 100 years ago, was make a team throw the ball outside. Longer throw. Yes, it is a little different game now. The hash marks are a little bit different now, but make them throw outside. Don't give them routes inside the hash marks, crossing routes, slant routes, things like that. Don't give them an easy curl route. Make them throw an outside breaking route. Why? Well, it's harder to throw. And the other part of it is, if they catch it over there by the boundary, you got old Sammy Sideline standing there, who Sammy Sideline has been the leading tackler in NCAA football since its inception on that. So, anyway, I got that out of my system. But it does. It just I sat there and I watched the teams over and over, and they almost know what's coming. Make them throw something by an inside breaking route. If I have to line my cornerback up 3 yards inside, I'm going to take away that route. I am not going to let that guy inside. And if he gets inside, guess what? I'm going to have another cornerback out there the next play playing it. Easy to say. I'm one of the best coaches out there when it sets the talking setting in the seats. I'm a tremendous stadium coach. But anyway, that's just my thoughts on that. So Alabama's sitting there at 3-0. They got 5 games left, of course. LSU and Auburn, really the only serious competition there. Auburn, again, we're going in alphabetical order, folks. Not by. These are the teams that Tony and I both think are in it. Auburn at 2-1. Obviously, they have to win out. And they, if they do, they're going to have the tiebreaker over LSU and Alabama. Let's hit them. They got Arkansas at LSU, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama. They got 3 really tough games ahead. They got the toughest schedule here on out in the West, right?
Right, right. And from a personnel standpoint, they're also in a tough position. Obviously, we saw what Florida was able to do to Bo Nix, their young quarterback. They made him look like a freshman in that game and really put him under a lot of pressure. Now, to add to that issue, Auburn has lost their number one running back, Booby Whitlow, with a knee surgery. He's going to be out at least a month, maybe 6 weeks. And he was their top running back by a wide margin. He had 110 carries. And we both know that for Auburn to have a chance against a team like Alabama, team like LSU, they've got to run the ball and shorten the game. They are not going to match up point from a point standpoint. They're not going to score with them. So this watching Auburn tonight against Arkansas is going to be interesting, because they were off last week, and Gus Malzahn and his staff repped 4 running backs, equal reps, to try to find a couple of guys to get ready to play these games. And so if you're watching Auburn, Arkansas, see who gets the most carries tonight in that game for Auburn.
Here's what I like about Auburn. They have played, in my opinion, the toughest schedule. They have a tested defense, and they have a tested young quarterback. And listen, that young quarterback's getting better. He didn't have a great game, but you know, the best quarterbacks, Jake Fromm didn't have a very good game either. But as they move along, they got Arkansas, and then they're LSU. Then they got those last 3 games, including Georgia and Alabama at home. So anyway, that's Auburn. Let's get one more in here, and then we'll take a break. Florida, 3-1, only SEC losses outside the division. That is big. They got South Carolina, of course, there. Then Georgia and Jacksonville, then Vanderbilt and Missouri. So, really, their season is in the next 2 SEC games.
No doubt. And what they need to do is really find a way, figure out a way to win at South Carolina today. Because Florida's coming off, That's two pretty tough games. Auburn at home was a tough game. Then they go to LSU last week. That's a tough game. They come home. Now they've got to go back on the road to play a South Carolina team that is feeling pretty good about itself right now. Florida has just got to find a way to win this game, Doug, and so they can get to, and then they get a week off. Then they play Georgia in Jacksonville. So this is a big game for Florida today. We're going to have some weather here, in case you haven't heard.
Really?
Yes, sir. We're going to have some weather in our part of the world.
Well, my wife tells me that she's getting ready to go down to Florida this week, and it's going to rain down there. And I said, well, too bad. Really kind of gives me a little I got to stay here at home. But anyway, all right. More with Tony. We got the other four teams we'll hit at the top, and then we're going to take a look at today's games with Tony. Also, Charles Davis coming up at 10:15. We're going to look at five programs with Charles Davis that are relatively lately national championship programs that are now rebuilding. Two in the ACC, one in the Big Ten, one in the Big 12, one in the Southeastern Conference. We'll talk with Tony Charles about that at 15 after the hour. Tony will be right back with us. I'll talk to you about Star Physical Therapy. You know, you've heard me say this. You're just like me, I know, regardless of your age. You know, occasionally you experience pain from time to time. Sometimes it's more than occasionally. That's where Star Physical Therapy comes in. You know, Star Physical Therapy, they only serve Tennessee. They have 65 convenient locations throughout the state of Tennessee. These are people who are tested, been there a long time, and they are quality folks that work with individuals. And again, they love working with Tennesseans. That's why this is the only place they are. Star, STARPT.com. That's their website to go to. Let's just talk about a few things right now. You know, some of the other physical therapy places, that are parts of hospitals, obviously those hospitals and doctors are going to, they're going to recommend them. Not that they're not quality folks, but that's where what I like about STAR. They're separate. They're not associated with any one particular hospital or doctor group. You can choose where you want to go. You can choose wisely because your health and the health of your family is important. And you can choose because you want a physical therapist that is working with you as an individual, not for a group. That's why if I were you, I would take a good long look and I would choose Star Physical Therapy. Your health, their hands, choose Star.
Serious business, and no one takes it more seriously than Cody Allison and Associates. For nearly two decades, representing clients in truck accident, auto accident, and workers' compensation cases, returning clients' calls the same day or early the next day, keeping their clients informed, well, that's the Cody Allison way. Communication with clients about the status of their case? That's the Cody Allison way. Simply pick up the phone and call 615-234-6000, also online at CodyAllison.com.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
We're back with Kent McMillan from IntelliTurf. Kent, another football season's here, and you guys are rocking and rolling.
That's right, Coach. If you are currently experiencing hard-to-maintain areas in your yard or place of business, our artificial landscaping turf is a permanent, maintenance-free solution to these problem areas. We offer many different varieties of turf to fit your exact needs. How about a golf green? Looking to improve your short game? Let us custom design an artificial turf green for you. We are all things turf, Coach. Look us up online at nashville.intelliturf.com.
Auburn, Florida, and staying in alphabetical order, Georgia 2-1. They got Kentucky. They got Florida in Jacksonville. They got Missouri. They got Auburn. And they got Texas A&M in there. So they got a tough finish. I think clearly they and Auburn have the two toughest schedules going forward.
Yeah, and when you think about the fact that Missouri is inserted in that between Florida and Auburn, and the fact that Texas A&M comes the week after Auburn, that's a very, very tough finish. But, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about Georgia today. I mean, they as I said, they got outplayed and outcoached, and now they're going to play a Kentucky team at home that's a team they should beat. But we'll see. But That's a pretty tough stretch for Georgia.
Yeah, they're still a very, very, very strong team, and their quarterback's not going to play. You don't have many games like that. LSU, they're the one that's only played two conference games right now, so obviously they got six of those remaining. They're at Mississippi State. Tony, a lot of people talking about this ball game. I watched very closely Mississippi State last week playing Tennessee, and I would simply say this: I don't think Mississippi State has the firepower to hang even closely at all with this LSU team. They only scored 10 points on Tennessee, and seven of those were on the next last drive in the game, where Tennessee was playing a little not soft, but a little bit looser. I don't see them scoring many points, and I see LSU scoring a bunch of points.
Yeah, and regardless, they've had quarterback issues with Steven and the freshman Strader, and they've both been beat up and not particularly effective. I think that Mississippi State's just that they will be pretty much overwhelmed by this team. I don't expect this to be close.
Next two games, Auburn, and Auburn's at home at the LSU, and then at Alabama will probably tell the tale there. You mentioned Missouri. They also have just won two ball games, and you look at their schedule going down here. They got Arkansas in the West. Arkansas is the worst team in the league right now. They're at Georgia. They have Florida at home, and then Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee, certainly beatable. You got to like where Missouri is right now.
Well, you know, going into the season, we thought it was possible that for them to be 8-0 when they went to Georgia. Later on this year, and of course, again, their only loss is the opener against Wyoming in a game they should have won. I talked to Barry Odom about that. So yeah, it is a very manageable schedule. Certainly believe they'll beat Vanderbilt. They're certainly capable of winning at Kentucky. Georgia, I think, will be a tough out, and Florida will be at home. But remember, Missouri went to Florida last year in the Swamp and just wore them out. So you look at that Missouri schedule, all those games, with the possible exception of Georgia on the road, are winnable.
Tell you what they got. They got a quarterback.
Yep.
And they got a defense. Their defense is not a defense designed to be big play. They don't pressure much. They rush forward. They're a four-man front. They rush forward. They don't bring their linebackers at all. They play what some people call a bend but don't break. That's not what I would call it. They just play good, solid defense and make you earn everything you're getting. Now, the team, look, Missouri is the one that's right there. South Carolina, they got two losses, but that win over Georgia gave them a big tiebreaker.
Huge.
That was big, but, you know, they got to finish 6-2, so that means they got to win the rest four on that. And then, you know, we'll see. They're certainly in it. All right, we're going to look at today's games. That's where I am time-wise. All right, let's start with we're going to take them by the time they're going to be played. This is an 11 o'clock SEC Network game. We'll do one now and then the rest after we come back. Auburn at Arkansas. Arkansas is playing better, but you would expect Auburn to be ready to play. They by far got the best defense in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas, their last two games, I mean, they played Texas A&M tough. That was a four-point game. They played Kentucky tough. They led Kentucky a big part of that game, and that was a four-point game. So, but no, they don't have the defense. And quite honestly, Auburn should be pretty okay. They should be okay in this game.
I will say this: Arkansas has made, I think, pretty significant improvement. But boy, they had a long, long, long way to go. But they, you know, if you're an Arkansas fan, you got to feel decent about it. You know, it's going to be a while, but you got to feel decent about it. All right, more with Tony at the top of the hour. Charles Davis, by the way, will be with us at 10:15. And let's bring on our good buddy Don King with the TWRA. Don, what's on tap for the TWRA? You guys are going to got some well, just tell us about the commission meetings.
Yeah, we've got a commission meeting coming up this week, this Friday. It's a one-day meeting. And it's at Lone Oaks Farm, just south of Bolivar, Tennessee. If you've never heard of this place, it's quite the showcase place that the Tennessee Department of Ag and UT and you know, to some degree, our agency is cooperating and doing some shooting range building down there. And it's just quite the facility. But anyway, our Our commission is meeting this week, a one-day meeting on Friday. So I'd like to invite everybody to come to that. If you've never been to one, it's a good way to meet your commissioner representative face to face and have a good conversation. And it's very, very low key. And if you can't make the meeting, we'll live stream it on YouTube. So you can always check that out that way. And hunter education classes are going on now. Now is a great time to enroll, get certified. The season is just about upon us for muzzleloader and then rifle just following that. And under the news area of our website, there's a thing called October Mentored Deer Hunt. Now, it's too late to sign up for this year's deer offering for muzzleloader for youth. But the idea is to, we are partnering with the Tennessee Wildlife Federation to make opportunities for youth 9 to 16 who want to get started hunting. But, don't necessarily know where to go, don't have a place to go hunt. And if they've been certified, then they're eligible to apply for this mentored deer hunt. We're working with, as I mentioned, the Tennessee Wildlife Federation. They've got a good group of volunteers that have volunteered their time to come out, help get folks who are interested in hunting, get them an experience they need, and get them the confidence they need to get out there and do it on their own after this event. These hunts are based in Jackson and Dover. They're coming up this coming weekend. So, as I said before, it's probably too late to sign up for that now. But what I would do is encourage anybody who's interested to submit your email and, get on the list so folks can send you periodic updates when there are future hunts that there will be coming up. So that's a good thing. If anybody's interested in that, just go ahead and sign up and you'll get notified when there's another opportunity.
Good stuff, Don. TNWildlife.org. Don, we will talk to you next week. We'll take a quick break when we're back. One more segment with Tony Barnhart.
And with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Florida, this is ESPN on ESPN. Florida, South Carolina. South Carolina coming off a big, big win. Florida coming off, as Tony mentioned, two really tough road games. They are, two tough games. Auburn was at home, LSU on the road. Kind of interesting to me. I don't normally put much stock into this, but Gators only favored by 4.5. I think that has a lot to do, say more about South Carolina than it does Florida.
It has a lot to do with South Carolina. Excuse me, South Carolina playing at home. And Florida having played two really, really tough games. And I was at that Florida Auburn game. That was a lot of hitting being done in that game. I just think South Carolina, it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be raining, so it might dampen that a little bit. But I think Florida wins, but as they say, pretty close.
Well, here's the thing. South Carolina now, they are one of the teams that control their, as we say, their own destiny. If they went out in the Southeastern Conference, they're going to be there. They're going to be 6-2, and they're going to have wins over two lost teams in Florida and Georgia. So, we'll keep an eye on that. 2:30 LSU at Mississippi State. That is the CBS game. LSU's moved up to number two in the poll. Some of them have number one. And, again, they are impressive, very impressive. A lot of it has to do with Joe Burrow, who continues to be Tony, I would guess maybe the hottest quarterback in the country. There are several hot quarterbacks, but, boy, he's right there with him. 80% of his passes, 25 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and he's played some tough ball games. Impressive young man.
Well, think about that. They played Texas on the road. They played They played Florida. They've played a very difficult schedule, and Burrow has just been amazing. I mean, it's one thing to complete 80% of your passes against tall grass, but he's been remarkable. And so it is going to be fun. I don't think he'll have another big day today, but it's going to be fun watching LSU and Alabama. Watch those two quarterbacks on the same field, rank one and two probably when the game is played on November 9th. Burrow has been incredible.
3 o'clock, SEC Network, Missouri, which is leading. Again, they're 2-0. They are actually leading. They're first in the SEC East. Now, as we mentioned, they got six games left. They play at Vanderbilt. And, Tony, I got to tell you, of course, I'm relatively close to the Vanderbilt program, but I've been asked this a bunch this week. Here's what would concern me about Vanderbilt. Last week in the UNLV game, Coach Mason really put a lot of marbles on winning, a lot of cachet on winning that game, challenging his team, and they got run off the field. I have not seen, not saying it can't happen, but I've not seen it many places when a coach challenges his team to fight and win a game that they probably should win anyway, and they don't. Difficult to come back from that, and Vanderbilt is, and Coach Mason's in a tough spot right now.
He is, and the thing that you look for, people, you know, have always asked me, says, when do you know it's time to make a change? I say, well, when you know it's time to make a change is when the players quit listening to the coaches, and the players are going through the motion, and you can't get your guys ready to play. And that was a 1-4 UNLV team, was it not, Doug?
Yeah.
It was a bad team.
I think they
come
four,
in there.
Yeah, they weren't. I watched the game. They weren't very. They're not very good. They shredded Vanderbilt defensively, throwing the football. Here's the problem that and Tony and I don't get into coaching changes. You know, if they happen, they happen. But you know, you look at it, man. How can I understand, you know, both sides maybe, but how can you fire a guy that's beaten Tennessee three straight years?
Hey,
I mean, think about
exactly.
That. Most of them would have him elevated the athletic director's job, maybe even the chancellor's job right now. But three straight years of beating Tennessee, you know, that hadn't – nobody alive had seen that before, unless there maybe a few of them have.
Well, and, Doug, ultimately what you have to decide is what we're going through at Vanderbilt, what Vanderbilt's going through this year is an aberration, obviously – first year without Kyle Shurmur, you know, but you've got three really great players in Pinckney and Vaughn and those guys, and you're not really taking advantage of that. You know, you lost your offensive coordinator to Utah, I believe it was. What's that change? So you got to make a decision. Can you come back from where Vanderbilt is right now? Because today is not going to be a pretty game, I don't believe.
Yeah, they got one of those three are playing well. And you know, the bad part or the difficult part is for a receiver and a tight end, you got to have somebody get you the ball. You can hand the ball to Vaughn, and he had, 140 yards? He's playing at a pretty darn high level right now. But, you know, big thing on this, Coach Mason is getting – little or no help from his administration, little or no, just like every other head coach has been there. I can attest to that going back to 1969. And, we'll see what happens there. But, again, three straight years beating Tennessee, easy for me to say, but that should count. I think does count for a heck of a lot. But, like you said, you have to be evaluated. By the way, the last segment, I'm going to look at what AD should be evaluating. What are the few things that AD really should be looking at when they're evaluating their current head coach and whether to make a change? I'll do that in the last segments. 5 o'clock, Kentucky, Georgia. Georgia, again, there's several teams out there that still control everything. Georgia is one of those. I just got a feeling that they're probably going to bounce back and play pretty well.
Yep.
Something tells me. Some little dog told me that.
I think they will. I mean, last week, I'll tell you this, Doug. I talked to some people last week. it was a noon game, 11 o'clock your time. And I was told that Kirby Smart, before the game, he was very, very concerned because the stadiums, they go out to warm up, stadium's half full, there's no energy. His guys don't look ready to play. And so I think that is that will have been addressed. And Georgia now knows, and this has happened to Georgia before, Doug. 2 years ago, they got beat by Auburn in November, and they thought their season was over, but they came back and beat Auburn in the SEC championship game. Last year, they go to LSU and just get manhandled, okay? But they didn't. Then they didn't lose another game. So they've been in this position before. That doesn't mean they're going to do it again, but it's not like they haven't been in a position where all your margin for error is gone. I mean, that's what Georgia lost last week with that game. They lost all of their margin for error. They have to win out.
You know, they probably were certainly were going to have to beat Florida anyway, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
So, and what was formerly called the Great Cocktail Party, you know, of course, I still call it that. I still call it the Red River Shootout.
Right.
Because I don't know why I do, because that's what they are, really, regardless of what you say. You know, one thing, I just got to get this. I thought about this all week. You know, they make such a deal, big deal about not calling it the Red River Shootout. Why?
Right.
Well, because that it has something to do, obviously, with a gun. So what was really – I laughed out loud when I heard this. I was watching one of the college shows, and they were talking about the Red River rivalry. And then they said – the next line was, we got a couple of gunslingers playing in this game. Now, I'm serious. Just think about the stupidity in that. You know, we can't call it a shootout, but we talk about the two gunslingers that were playing in the game. Anyway, I thought that was kind of – all right, let's see. One thing I'll say about this. Here's what's going to happen to Kentucky now that they're at league play. You know, everybody's making a big deal, and rightfully so. This is it Bowden or Bowden? Bowden, I think.
Bowden
youngster, Bowden. Went Bowden. And a quarterback. He's a wide receiver. Hey, you know, that works once. But let me tell you, the defensive coordinator that he's going to be going up today and the rest of the time, they're going to make that wide receiver prove that he can throw the football. And,
sure.
And how they're going to do it, they're not going to send their inside linebackers and give him a gap to run in. They're going to keep whoever's got the outside contained, outside rush guy, defensive end, defensive tackle, whatever is out there, they're going to keep him in that pocket. They're going to make him throw the ball, and I'm betting he can't throw it very well. We're going to find right. that out there. Last game, two games that I'll talk about Tennessee-Alabama later on. But A&M, Ole Miss back to using two quarterbacks now. And really kind of, you know, normally that I don't think that works very well, but I think it very easily could work now. They got the Plumlee kid and the Carroll kid both playing today, right?
Yeah, and Plumlee's he's shown – in the last few games, he has incredible speed, gives them a dimension of a short yardage situations, running situation. Matt Carroll was a very highly recruited passing quarterback from the state of California. He was one of Hugh Freeze's guys, and he can throw the ball really well. I think this is going to be an interesting game, Doug, because, you know, look, Ole Miss is 3-4. They're eligible for a bowl again. And they made it very clear that's their goal, is to get to a bowl. And Mike McIntyre's defense is starting to play better. And so I think this is going to be an interesting game.
A&M kind of puzzling in some regard. And I've been probably guilty of this myself. This is only Jimbo Fisher's second year.
Correct.
There's a reason why you make a coaching change. I don't think anybody questions the ability of Jimbo Fisher, but they're not playing very well right now. It's not just a talent thing. They're not playing very well right now for whatever reason, and this will be an opportunity for them. One thing about using two quarterbacks, particularly if you got two like these two guys, defensively it makes you spend a lot of time on what Plumlee can do when he's in and what Carroll can do when he's in. Now, we'll see how that works out. Tony, I'm going to be hitting this pretty heavy at the end, but give me a few thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama.
Well, obviously, for Tennessee to win last week, that was a game you needed to put. That was a game you needed to have because you needed to build up a little confidence. Okay, and so, but now this is totally different. I mean, you're playing an Alabama team that's just absolutely unstoppable. And you know, they got a roster full of pros. They got a great quarterback. They got maybe the best collection of four wide receivers that I have ever seen. And, oh, by the way, Alabama didn't lose at home. They won 44 of their last 45 at home, 29 straight. So, no. Oh, by the way, I looked this up, too. I didn't know this. Nick Saban, over 23 years as a head coach, he's 139-19 at home. That ain't too bad.
No, it's not. I tell you what else they got that gets overlooked. They got a that number 17. When you punt the ball to him.
Oh, don't punt the ball to him.
Well, I know. So when you, let me tell you what happens when you don't punt it to him. Your punter, who's normally doing it, that's why you see punts sliced out of bounds, and you get a 20-yard punt or a 10-yard punt. But anyway, I guess the other part of it is don't punt the ball, right? What's that cat's name out in Arkansas? I forget that program out there. But maybe and interestingly enough, talking about the, I forget which program it is in Arkansas. Coach Pruitt talked about that today. He was joking, but he said we may not even kick the ball. Onside kick and
don't punt it. Go for it on fourth down. Do an onside kick when you score.
My bet is that he punts at least once. What do you bet?
A pretty good chance.
I'm just hoping he kicks off more than once.
just don't punt it to Waddle. I mean, last week Waddle was
he's a great player.
Was unbelievable.
Player. Great player. No doubt about it. Great player. All right, give me a final thought here, Tony.
Well, this looks like a weekend where you're going to have a bunch of blowouts, and usually weird stuff happens. But you know what? Other than South Carolina, Florida, we're going to have a bunch of blowouts. We'll get ready for next week. So.
It all depends on your definition of blowout, right?
This is true. This is true.
Hey, talk to you next week.
Thanks, Doug. Take care.
Tony Barnhart, Charles Davis up next. Stay right here with us as we go to break. I'll talk to you about Stover's Liquidation. You know, liquidation companies, liquidation stores, liquidation businesses, when you take a look at them, they really give you quality products if they got their tradition and the longevity behind them. Well, that's what Stover's at. They've been the state of Tennessee for many, many, many years, up in Bristol, and of course in Knoxville, then Cookeville, and now they're here in Antioch. If you're looking for great deals, everything from commercial-grade janitorial supplies to things even as big and as costly, even though you get a 50% off almost guaranteed on HVAC equipment, take a look at them. Check them out. Stover's Liquidation at stoversliquidation.com.
This is Todd.
Lucy Bottorff with Frederick and Clark Realty. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Middle Tennessee area, you need an experienced agent. For over two decades, I have worked with people just like you, helping navigate both buyers and sellers in this aggressive market. New neighborhoods are springing up all over. Traffic concerns are so important. That's where my experience can help. Contact Lucy Bottorff of Frederick and Clark Realty at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you. Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just two blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top-quality homes in Williamson County.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay coinsurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhealthplans.com.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
New York.
Yeah.
It was a huge, back then, think about when we moved there. We moved there in 1967. So when you go through those 70s, especially when you're talking about the early 70s time, yeah, hitchhiking was a way of life around the country.
Yeah, it was, you're right.
And our little burg was the type of place that, you had a decent chance of knowing the person with their thumb out or someone from their family. So hitchhiking, people moved around town and then moved from town to town that way pretty easily.
Chances are, when I was growing up, it was an Okie going somewhere.
Somebody was getting somewhere, you know?
All right, let's get right to it. I'm gonna ask Charles, we're going to look at the next couple of weeks. He and I have discussed this before, but here we are halfway through the season. There's several teams out there that have won national championship in the last couple of decades, 25 years, that have kind of fallen on hard times. We're going to start discussing a few of those. We're going to look at 5 of them today, or as many as we can get through here in the next 10, 12 minutes. Charles, I want to start with, in no particular order here, but let's start with Florida State. 3 national championships, one of the toughest teams. Nobody wanted to play them. Now there's a lot of people who want to play them.
I still think, Coach, that they are the type of program, and so much of college football is about who is leading that program, and look, it's like that everywhere. But college football, with places like Florida State and places we're going to discuss, you're not always the top dog in your own state. You're not the top dog in your own area. So those who have gotten good over time, Florida State, remember, was a women's college until I believe the late 40s, early 50s. Before it became a full-scale co-ed deal. They're way behind the University of Florida, as you might imagine, in terms of people, enrollment, graduates, et cetera. So you don't get right as quickly at a place like that as you do at others, but it's still the guy at the top. Bobby Bowden did it and held it there forever and a day. Jimbo Fisher did a heck of a job before he exited out. I know there's a lot of talk that he left it not quite as great as he should have, but they won a national championship with him at the helm, competed for others as well. So that person has to be the right guy. And right now, Willie Taggart, his record and how things are going are suggesting that he is not. And that's where they've got to get that part figured out. Can he still be? Yeah, of course he can. He can get it turned around. But I had better optimism last week, Coach, going into the Clemson game than what I saw in how they played against Clemson. That was bad all the way around. And I had you remember we talked, and I said, hey, last game, good effort. You've seen this out of this team. I think they're starting to come along. But that's a major step back, although it was a little bit of a game because Clemson had the open week and hadn't played very well. You knew they would come charged up.
Let's go down to the bottom of the state, southern part of the state. We'll talk about Miami. And the reason I'm starting Florida State and Miami, just think how good if just one of these were back to anywhere close where they used to be, but both had the potential to get there. Just think how different the ACC would be now with adding that to Clemson. But take us through Miami. Of course, Manny Diaz, first year back there, showed some promise early. Not so much now. What are you seeing with Miami?
I think not quite what I'm talking about with Florida State, because I think Miami, people have to remember, the private school. And private schools do things a little bit differently depending on who is running the school, who the president is, how the board of trustees are thinking, what the environment and the mood of the school is. And remember, they got good with Howard Schnellenberger, Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson and crew. And then they ran into some problems in terms of how they were perceived by the outside world. And a lot of people there wanted to clean that up. Well, when you start cleaning those types of things up, Coach, you know what usually that means? Admissions. And admissions change. Who can get in? How many so-called, chances you're going to take in admissions? And I don't mean you admit someone who can't read, write, and all that. I'm just saying someone who doesn't hit your qualification standards or minimums, but maybe close. Would you vouch for them? Do you think they can get through with the proper guidance and help? all those things. And if you don't hit them really well, then things tighten up even more. My sense there is that Miami tightened up on things. They're working on potentially maybe letting some of that a little bit looser again, but there hasn't been a real appetite for it. And remember, when Miami came to the ACC, coach, they were popped into that opposite bracket, so that it would be Miami and Florida State have the opportunity of playing in the ACC title game. And we all thought that was going to happen numerous times. Has yet to happen. I mean, that's the most amazing thing about that since they've come in. It has yet to happen that they've reached the ACC title game together. So
Duke's been there more than they have.
Yeah, I mean, Duke's been in it. I mean, but just look, for a while there, you know, not Virginia Tech was kind of a power. But Duke's been in it. Pitt was in it last year. And looking like they're tracking towards having a chance again. They've won their last four in a row. I mean, you talk about some people that you didn't expect to be around and be factors. And guess what? They are. North Carolina was in it before they hit you know, with Larry Fedora. So let's just look at that one and say Miami can be what they used to be. But I think there's more to it behind the scenes in terms of what the university is doing as much as who it is running the program.
Well, and Charles mentioned admissions. Admissions is tremendously important. But let me tell you what is about as important, curriculum. You got to have a curriculum, too. All right, let's head out west, the Big Ten now. Hard for me to say Nebraska and the Big Ten, but that's where they are now. I thought going into this season, all the talk about Nebraska, people were a little over their skis on that, simply because, you know, most of it's because of Scott Frost, let's admit that.
Right.
And they just don't have the talent right now. Started off pretty good, but really, boy, they're just not a very good team right now.
No, I would agree with that, coach, and I thought they would be better than this. I was with you. I didn't think they were going to contend for any titles. I thought that was a bit much to ask right out of the gate, but I didn't think they'd be still be getting jumped on the way they are in certain situations. I was in Minneapolis last week, coach, for the Vikings game, and Minnesota was hosting Nebraska on Saturday night in their stadium at home. Went out to dinner the night before, just happened to be at the same place as a good number of Nebraska administrators, and it felt like boosters, you know, people that they were entertaining, people who were big-time alums. And Bill Moose, the AD, was there. And I've known Coach Moose for a while, and I just trotted over, said hello, and hugged it out with him the whole deal. Never did I expect, Coach, at 34-7 the next day, Minnesota would have laid it on him like that. I know Minnesota's undefeated. I get all that. This happens with them frequently by scheduling in a lot of ways when they have a decent team. Glenn Mason was there. He was a darn good football coach. How many times, coach, did you look up to Minnesota 5-1, 6-2, right? And then the back portion of their schedule, and they'd be 7-5. I mean, it just kind of happens. We will see if PJ Fleck can navigate it. But back to Nebraska, they should not be getting worked 34-7 by Minnesota like that. Not that Minnesota's bad, but Nebraska shouldn't be at a level where they're getting jumped on like that. And that's what they have to continue to work on. And I'm going to go back to one thing, Coach, which you said in the beginning. It's hard to say fit Nebraska in the Big Ten. I still don't believe they fit in the Big Ten in football. I think that they are still a better fit for the Big 12, but that's just me.
Well, Florida State, Miami, Nebraska, we talked about multiple national championships the last 40 years. One other team we're going to talk on about that, Texas and the Big 12. They, Charles, as we look at these four particular teams, I think are significantly ahead. Now, some of that's because of the conference that they play in, but Texas appears to be close to getting back to that championship level. And I don't mean just playing the championship game. They did that last year, but from a talent to play for a national championship, they're getting closer, I think.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. It actually started under Charlie Strong, bringing in better talent. They didn't win enough ball games, and Charlie was gone. Tom Herman's a darn good football coach. Got to cut his teeth at Houston as a head coach. Did that very well. It hasn't been interesting, coach, how Houston's become quite a good stepping stone for people. When you look at it recently, Art Riles' stepping stone was Houston. Kevin Sumlin's stepping stone was Houston, right? Now Dana Holgorsen actually stepped back from West Virginia to go to Houston, so he may be there for a while. But prior to that, you know, this is what we're talking about. Getting guys there, getting their opportunities. Tom Herman does a great job there. Carries it over to Texas. We already had familiarity having worked there before, and the recruiting is really opened up again. The problem they've run into is that Oklahoma is cranking it out. I'm not going to call it an all-time high, because Oklahoma's been darn good for you know, years and years and years and years. But they are cranking it out at a big-time level with Lincoln Riley. And it looks like their defense has gotten improved now, too. So it's going to be very difficult to handle them. Texas can get a second shot. I just don't know if a second shot is going to make much difference, frankly. I thought Oklahoma should have beat them by more the first time, and they let it get away. But this is a Texas squad and a Texas program that is right on the cusp of it. So if there's any slippage with Oklahoma, if it turns out to be even, they've got a chance because, as we noted, they did beat them once last year and then lost in the Big 12 championship game. But, yeah, they're going to be pretty darn good for a while to come, I think, under Tom Herman.
Well, Baylor, notwithstanding, we expect to see Oklahoma-Texas in the Big 12 championship game. Remember, they don't have division play there. They play the one against the top two. We think they're going to be there. Charles, I was going to talk about your alma mater, but I'm out of time, and we'll talk about that next week, okay?
That sounds good. You take care of yourself, Coach. Have a wonderful weekend.
Have a great time in Atlanta.
Will do.
Charles Davis. Again, Charles with us each and every week. All right, when do we come back? I'm going to take a look at three topics, actually, but the midseason breakdown, I'm going to start with that on the SEC programs. Where are all the teams right now from a head coaching perspective? I'll talk about what ADs should be looking at least in my opinion, when they evaluate making a change at head coach, when they're contemplating that. And then the last part of the show, we'll take a look at Alabama, Tennessee. Mandu, you've heard me talk about Mandu. Over a year now, I've been doing it, sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week. And here's what I can tell you. It has worked great, and I mean great for me. A simple 15-minute workout, and that includes a 2-minute break in there in between. It gives me or 1 minute at least, a better strength workout than I was getting from 3 hours plus hours in the gym. As a matter of fact, they will tell you in the weight room, they will tell you that one 15-minute workout has the same results of 6 to 7 hours of workout in the gym. It's worked for me. I wasn't sure about it. That's why I tried it out, manduu.com. You can get your first session is free. They'll work with you on that. And then if you just mention that you heard it on this show, you can get the lowest 15-session price, which is the lowest one out there. Comes to about $39, or it is $39. And I'll tell you, it is groundbreaking fitness solution that uses electrical muscle stimulation. I can't speak highly enough of it. I've had a bunch of friends, a bunch of people I've talked to, both women and men, who absolutely love it. And I encourage you to give it a shot. Hey, if you don't like it, you don't like it. That's Mandu. Quick break. We'll be right back on Forklift Systems Football Saturday.
K41423288, KJ2741333, KF202725.
Closeout deals start now at Walker Chevrolet on over 400 vehicles in stock. Right now, 2019 four-wheel drive Silverado LT and Suburban Premier get over $15,000 off MSRP. 2019 Traverse all-wheel drive RS and the all-electric Bolt Premier save over $12,000. Nashville's big Chevy store, Walker Chevrolet, Highway 96 and Carruthers, and WalkerChevrolet.com. We sell more because you save more.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or a post-game snack. Enjoy Hebrew National Chili Dog, Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Homemade Onion Rings, Dog Bowl Nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Plumbing trouble? Has your HVAC stopped working? Let the expert team at Jewel Mechanical take a look at your heat, air, or plumbing. Trust us to do the work right the first time and to only sell you what you need. Let us help you make your home and family comfortable year-round. Ask about our money-saving HVAC and plumbing maintenance agreements. As always, free estimates with second opinion and financing available. Jewel Mechanical, 615-469-5965 or jewelmechanical.com.
Let's take a mid-season breakdown of the SEC programs right now. Here's my opinion on all this, my analysis of looking at this. And I spent a lot of time doing this, taking a look at this league in particular. I like to watch college football, but particularly as they try to stay really up on what's going on at all 14 of the SEC programs. You know, in my opinion right now, we got five teams here in 2019 that I think can play with anyone, anywhere. Doesn't mean they're going to beat them, but they certainly would have an opportunity to beat anybody in the country. I think all five of these teams would. Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, Florida. I think those five teams could play with anybody in the country. Now, can they be all beat in Ohio State? Probably won't. Can they beat some of the better Oklahoma? Probably won't. Can they play with them? Absolutely. I'm setting this up for two things. When I get through with this, I'm going to take a look at what athletic directors are should be, and most are the good ones, the really good ones that know what they're doing. And believe me, there's some out there that, in my opinion, don't know what they're doing when it comes to hiring coaches. But the good ones, I think they're going to be looking at some of these things. Let's take a look at them. Alabama, well, there's enough said there. You got the best coach, in my opinion, in the last 30 years. There's some that are close. You can make an argument for a few others. But Nick Saban, with what he's done at Alabama, enough said on that. LSU, Ed Orgeron, he's in his fourth year. He still doesn't have a four full recruiting classes in there. Just think about that. But you can argue a little bit about what's happened in the past, but not what's going on now. And one of the things that Ed Orgeron did, he completely changed his offensive philosophy. It wasn't just talk, like it has been for too many years down at LSU. It wasn't just talk, and he stuck with it, and he has a team up there right now that is as good as playing right now as well as anybody in the country. Auburn with Gus Malzahn, he has built a solid contending program. If you are an Auburn fan, and if I were an Auburn fan, you know, you're always got that, well, we can't seemingly beat Alabama. Well, you beat him more than anybody else. He's beat him more than anybody else in this league since his tenure's been there. Ole Miss would be the other that's beat him twice. Bottom line is, though, he has a solid contending program that is tough to beat. You know, I would think if that, obviously they gave him a contract that's awfully rich. But I think Gus Malzahn, again, from my evaluation, looking, does a wonderful job down there. He plays in a tough league. And it is hard to win. Alabama has done things that really should not be done in this league, quite honestly. Coach Saban in Alabama has done things that really Coach Bryant did them over a period of 20 years, but not like this. So Auburn, again, a contending program. They're going to be there. They get excellent players. So they're in a great recruiting area. And more or as much as anybody else in this league, and again, my opinion on this, Auburn knows who they are. They know what they're all about. They know what and where they need to recruit, and they do it over and over again. Georgia with Kirby Smart in his fifth year. He has his team playing at a championship level. You know, I hear, I don't read any of it, but I hear, you know, well, Kirby can't do this and Kirby can't do that. Bull dust. He's an excellent coach. Is he the best game day coach? Probably not right now, but you know what you learn from things like this. And Kirby Smart, he has done more than any coach. I go back to Vince Dooley. Wasn't there with Wally Butts. Go back to Vince Dooley. Kirby Smart recruits like nobody else recruits in that state. They got a tremendous amount of talent. They've got a tremendous amount of talent in that state. He gets most of it. He's an outstanding recruiter. I love what he does defensively and what they do offensively. They just had a bad game last week on that. And then Florida with Dan Mullen. Only his second year, and if I'm having to play Florida and this is only Dan Mullen's second year, listen, they're going to get, look what he did at Mississippi State talent-wise. They're going to bring in talent, Florida. They're going to, most coaches can do it anyway. Dan Mullen can certainly do it. What a great hire that was from Florida. Had spent that time there, of course, with Urban Meyer. Knows the area. They know him. Excellent X&O guys, and he gets his team to play. So, only a second year. They're going to get better. Now, they had good talent there. They had good talent there, no doubt about that. They have great talent, a lot of it. But they're rebuilding that, and you know this, with what you're going to get with Dan Mullen, you're going to get a guy, they're going to have a quarterback that can play. You know, he may not be able to run a 100-yard dash very fast or a 40-yard dash. He may trip over the sidelines or trip over the yard stripes. But he's going to be able to throw the football and get it to the guys that they need to get it to. I'm a big Dan Mullen fan. So that's the five right there. Then let's take a look at the, and I'm not going to do this in any particular order, but let's take a look at the other nine on it and where they are right now. Evaluating Arkansas with Chad Morris, only his second year. We got, what, five guys that are in their second year now only? He's rebuilding the program. It's going to be painful. If you're an Arkansas fan, it's going to be painful because not only is this a tough league, the division he's in, bunch of men out there. But Chad Morris, only his second year, you can see him getting better. Mississippi State, Joe Moorhead, only 1.5 years recruiting classes. I'll discuss that in a minute. They've had two recruiting classes under him. But listen, with this early signing day, you get a job and you got 3 weeks to establish a staff and recruit, and especially when you're somebody like Coach Moorhead who's come in who's not used to the area. Bad enough when you're like Coach Pruitt and others that know this league recruiting. You only got 3 weeks. It really is extremely tough because, hey, 70 to 80% of the players you are interested in are going to be there, aren't going to be there. They're going to be somewhere else. Tennessee, under Coach Pruitt, essentially the same. You know, the rebuilding, they are only two. Think about this. Tennessee's 2 years removed from being 0-8 in the league. Think about that. Chew on that for just a little while. Ole Miss and Matt Luke, second year, maybe a little bit more of that. He was an interim coach, fighting NCAA sanctions. You know, how difficult is that? A&M, you know, Jimbo Fisher, as I mentioned early, has above average talent. He is also rebuilding and only his second year. Then let's look at a few others. Will Muschamp and Coach Odom at Missouri. Both of them have solid programs now. They've developed depth. They have knowledge. Of course, South Carolina coming off that big Georgia win. So those programs are pretty much built and competing in this league. Going to be difficult for them to get to the top in the Eastern Division, but certainly they are competing. Then you have Vanderbilt under Coach Mason. They've gone downhill. But again, this is his sixth year. He's got three straight wins over Tennessee. And then Mark Stoops up at Kentucky. Again, kind of looking at what they're doing right now. He seems to have a program built, difficult place to play football in this league, no question. But again, that's just kind of a breakdown of those. So we got five programs I think can play anywhere. We got some 5 of the other 9 that are only in their second year. That's kind of the breakdown as I see it right now in the Southeastern Conference. All right, when we come back, I'm going to get into the evaluation for athletic directors. If they're thinking about making a change, we'll talk about that. We'll also take a look at the Tennessee-Alabama game. I'll talk to you about Wilson Bank and Trust as we go. This is Middle Tennessee's community bank. 28 offices, 9 Middle Tennessee locations. If you're in Middle Tennessee, in a county in Middle Tennessee, Wilson, Davison, DeKalb, Putnam, Rutherford, Smith, Sumner, Trousdale, and Williamson. This is a bank that is a community bank. They don't call them that. That's what they are. Over 30 years, going on 35 years. A community bank in Middle Tennessee. And, boy, they are highly – the one things I love about them, like a lot of things about them, they're great folks to work with. I can tell you that's where I do my banking. But another thing that's really attractive to me, they are youth athletic sponsorship and school sponsorship oriented. They put a lot of money into all of the locations in the school system and youth sports where they are. Check them out. Looking for a bank? Give them a try. They are a community-focused institution. Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Home design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Life is all about perfect pairings. Sweet and salty, naughty and nice, hot and cold. Well, add Instant and Jackpot to the list because that's what you'll get when you add Quick Cash to your next Tennessee Cash play. Quick Cash is a simple way to turn one game into two. With Quick Cash, you'll have a chance to win up to $500 instantly right there at the register. Plus, you'll still have a chance to win the Tennessee Cash drawing later. Get the best of both worlds and get twice the fun. It's Quick Cash with Tennessee Cash, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you.
Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just two blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top quality homes in Williamson County.
This is Neil Campbell with Story Abernathy and Campbell. Our team has decades of litigation experience dealing with complex marital situations. If you find yourself needing an experienced divorce attorney in Williamson County, our team can help you through that process. Whether it's a divorce, a child custody situation, or any other complex situation, we have the experience and strategy to help you. Our offices are located directly across from the Williamson County Courthouse. Contact Neil Campbell at WilliamsonDivorce.com.
That won't take long, but we'll kind of give you some thoughts on that. I did want to touch, after talking about where these programs are, the midseason breakdown of these SEC programs. Very important to remember how long Coach has been there. Does he have his program in place yet? And if he does, how is that program doing? Now, this is what the good athletic directors that I know, and I've always said this. I hear people talking about what an athletic director should be. One of the worst comments I've ever heard is, and it raises the hair on the back of my neck, well, we need to go out and get the best person available. Give me a break. You know, who's the best person available in 50 states in the United States? You need to get somebody, if you can, that knows your program and that wants to see your program not just take a job, but take a calling to get your program back where it is. At least that's my opinion on that. Now, evaluation for an athletic director. When you're looking at your head coach and evaluating, what goes into that? Obviously, the number of years that he's been there. You know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. That's it. But it really gets down to only two things for an athletic director, really, when you're looking at a football program. Now, again, I'm assuming everything is, is above board on everything. You don't have somebody that's had some problems in some areas, NCAA or those things like that. I'm just talking about overall, if everything's copacetic in what they're doing, there's a couple of key things. And it gets really down to two things as you're looking at it. Number one, regardless of whether he's 1 year, 2 years, well, not 1 year, 2 years or more, here's what you're looking at. The freshman and sophomore classes. If I'm the athletic director, I'm looking at those freshman and sophomore classes. Hopefully, if I've been hired as an athletic director in this league, I know about this league. You know, I know a little bit about what's going on in this league. I know what a football program looks like, hopefully. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't do that in this league. But I want to look and see. The freshman and sophomore class, where have we been in recruiting? Are there players in the pipeline, regardless of whether coach has been there 2 years or 10 years, are there players in the pipeline that can keep us competitive? Competitive. The good athletic directors, you know, they know where they are also. There are some programs in this league that just through history is going to tell you they're not going to compete for championships, but are we competitive? So that's number one. What do those freshman and sophomore classes look like? What's the pipeline coming as we graduate players? Pretty simple. If there's players in that class that have been recruited by this coach, if there's players in those classes that look to me like a good number that can compete next year or the year after for be competitive in this league, that's a big plus. And then the second thing is recruiting overall. How does my head football coach and his staff recruit? Are we able to go out and get those players that are competitive in this league? At most programs, not all, but most, that starts with in-state recruiting. Do we control our in-state recruiting? Obviously, you got a place like Alabama and Auburn. It's difficult for both of them to get everybody. But am I breaking even both ways? Of course, for Auburn's got other advantages in South Georgia and the Panhandle of Florida. So that's what I'm looking at. Those two things, that's it. Freshman, sophomore classes, what do we have coming? And then recruiting overall. And then it's pretty simple after that. If I don't believe as athletic director that my guy, or whether I hired him or not, that the guy that's my head coach, if I don't believe that he has this program headed in the right direction, if I don't think I can help him in those areas, and from a recruiting perspective, I'm probably going to make a change. Now, let's say he's doing those two things well. Then the other part of it is, why aren't we winning? Is it because of game day or is it because of maybe talent in my coaching staff? I'm going to help him with those things. I'm going to make changes with those things. Going to do that. So that's very, very important. That's what I would look at if I was an athletic director. Now, on the other side of that, I ain't an athletic director. But recruiting is such a key thing. All right, let's before we bring on Hunter McCarty here in just a second, let's bring on I want to talk about the Alabama-Tennessee game. Listen, Alabama is so much better in all those things I just talked about in Tennessee. Got many more players. Playing, you know, on the road. Tennessee's playing on the road. Tennessee coming off a big win. For my money, certainly you go down there thinking that you have an opportunity to win. I don't know a single coach. I worked for six of them and about a lot of assistants and been in some overwhelmingly underdog games. I don't know a single coach that does not truly believe that if they do things a certain way, they'll have a chance to win. And I'm sure Tennessee has to do that. Hard for me to see because of this matchup is a horrible matchup for Tennessee. We talked with Tony about it. We know what Alabama does throwing the football. I think they're the best throwing team in the country, bar none, simply because they got players at multiple positions in their skill that can beat you with a 5-yard pass or with a 40-yard pass that they catch. They're tough. They're physical. I love Alabama's wide receivers. I love the way they're coached. They're not just prima donnas out there catching passes. And they're going to have an opportunity to catch a bunch most ball games because they're going to throw the ball with that quarterback. They also block well. They help each other. It's a big deal to them. Love what they're doing. I think this is the best offense I've seen out of Alabama since Coach Saban's been there, in my opinion. Now, they don't run the ball quite as well, maybe, but they throw it so well. They put so much pressure on a defense. They spread you out so much that when they do run the ball, you better be really, really good up front if you're going to hang into a game with them offensively. Got some problems on defense. I wouldn't call them problems. They got some issues on defense, primarily because of a couple of injuries. Everybody has those, though, but they're also young there. But when they get to the end of this year, Alabama's going to be really good again. Will they be as good as defensively they have been? Probably not, but they're going to be better, in my opinion, as long as they keep that left-hander upright. They're going to be better. Remember last year at this time, he was had some couldn't run quite, wasn't as mobile as he had been. So that's kind of where I see this game. Tennessee needs to go into this ball game. They need to continue improving, continue playing a lot of players. Tennessee has a major problem at inside linebacker. They essentially got two guys in there that can play, and one of them is a guy that hadn't played much in Crouch. You know, To'o Toho will be back after the first half, and he is a formidable player. He is as good-looking linebacker as I've seen come in this league, particularly Tennessee, in a long time. So it's Batuli and it's Crouch in there. I think you're going to probably have to go to some nickel back situation, I would think. Or excuse me, some dime. They're already playing some nickel. They're going to have to play some six defensive backs, I think, because both those guys can't play the whole game. We'll see what else they do. Maybe they got somebody else playing there. I don't know who it'd be, but maybe they do. All right. Let's bring on our good buddy, Hunter McCarty with R.J. Young. Most of the time we talk with Hunter, it's serious, but really serious here. You know, one of the things, Hunter, just kind of touch on this. The cyber criminals that are going on, that have been going on, really they've been hitting those top companies. But what I found out from you is now they're kind of shifting it to the smaller or mid-sized businesses because – probably big reason is they're not quite as well. They don't have quite as much security as the big boys.
Well, Doug, that's exactly right. They now see that as a vulnerable target. So we had some facts that said that 60% of the small to medium businesses that are hacked go out of business within 6 months. So the severity of that is very important. And that's one reason why our managed service group can offer what we call up-to-date protection through a multitude of preventive actions and software, and we want to, of course, be the trusted provider for security because anything that's on the network we're involved with and anything that's on the network can be penetrated. So that's why it's so important to see vulnerability and that we do a test on the network. We can test the network and see where the vulnerabilities may be. It'll surprise usually the even the financial side of the business understands what danger there is there. And then, of course, you got the IT side of the business, which is always trying to warn these threats away. So that's very, very timely right now.
Hunter, hit one more time on that. This is really key. I was a small business owner. 60%, 6 out of 10, 60 out of 100 of small businesses that are hacked go out of business within 6 months. That is an alarming statistic.
That is. And again, like we said, right now, they've already hit the big boys. Now they're going after the medium and small business people because they're most vulnerable. Really, they don't have all the protections they need, and we see that happening quite frequently now.
All right, let's talk about RJ Young, folks. Number one, it starts with a no-cost network evaluation. Won't cost you a penny. They'll give you their recommendations and two ways to get to them. Of course, that website, easy. Everybody Googles now anyway, I think, don't they, Hunter? RJYoung.com, or if you want to call them, 615-255-8551. Hunter, a final thought on this security problem.
Well, we're involved with it actually weekly with customers and some of our people that are getting these threats, and then we're having to go in and try to protect them as best we can. And then if it's a threat which involves getting into your financial side, you can lose quite a bit of money in transfers, and that's the scary part. You never get that money back.
Hunter, thanks so much. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Hunter McCarty with RJ Young. I got a couple of minutes here. Let me just hit a couple of things that tomorrow morning on Big Horn Sunday, obviously, we'll be taking, it's 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll be taking a good look at the Alabama-Tennessee game and where Tennessee's headed. Five games after this that Tennessee should be able to at least compete in. Tennessee with a win last week put themselves in pretty good position. But Alabama today, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Simply Living Life. Hey, are you looking for a place where you just want to run and grab something quick? I'm looking for that. You can't. Don't have time to sit down. Don't have time to sit in my car and eat. I just need something I'm going to run home with me, take with me. Well, Simply Living Life is the place for me. Great sandwiches, soups, salads, many, many other things. Right there at Moore's Lane and Franklin Road. You can't miss it. Little strip mall right there. Stop by, grab something good to eat. I do it about three times a week. Again, if you got time to go sit down in one of the restaurants, super. But if you don't, this is just the place for you. Pick it up, eat it driving home, or eat it when you get there. That's Simply Living Life. All right, thanks to the Mud Man. You don't mind me calling you the Mud Man, do you? Ryan Mudd producing the show today. Hope you have a great week, a great game today, whoever you're following, or if you're not following anybody, watching it. Baseball, of course, all things going on, but college football, that's the topic. Thanks for being part of the show, and if you're a Tennessee fan, we'll see you tomorrow, Big Orange Sunday, 8 o'clock for Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee.
At Lazy Boy.